generate menus like this, but actually have them be delicious and at least have some sort of a feedback engine so you could go in and you could say thumbs up, thumbs down. And then the side effect of that, I'm just going to jump to this one, is that it would actually build your flavor profile. So the food genome is this engine that you talk to and tell it what you're eating. You can have it as a food diary or tell it what you like. You could say yum or yuck about things, and it learns what you like to eat. As it builds a profile about it, it can learn what your kids like to eat. You could say what I like to eat in last month or last year, things like that. And because we actually have an open API where you can query an engine and actually do really interesting kind of geolocative taste gestalt things where you see what is everyone eating in Chicago. I have a lot of old restaurant menu books from the past 30 or 40 years from like San Francisco and New Orleans and Chicago. So I think it's really interesting personally to map the taste gestalts of those eras and see how the cuisine in Chicago has changed or see how the cuisine in New Orleans has changed with the oil spill. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the food genome platform right now. So this is kind of an example, or this is kind of a schematic of the diagram, and this is like an XML scraped menu right here, where we take menus from from restaurants, they put them up in PDFs and doc formats, and we scrape it and we tokenize it and we feed it into the genome. So the genome itself is this big database that knows about all these kind of objects and things like that. It has a scraping API that you feed physics data, nutrition data, price data into, and also a food modeler so that you can build new kinds of food. Like you can model shit, right? You can say the color is brown, and it has a stinky flavor to it, and it's kind of liquid and it's kind of solid. And so the physics engine on the base of it knows about things like liquid and solid, and you can't chop something if it's liquid unless you freeze it, right? That kind of a thing. And so then the API to it is available for applications, for recipe tweakers, and search engines. So you can basically, you know, search through the database and ask it questions. You can ask the genome, what red food do they eat in China? Or what would Julia Child make for me if I was in Thailand and I have a nut allergy and I'm vegan? Just these really complicated kinds of things, right? And so there's all these Food 3.0 kind of customized food sites coming down, and I think this is the secret sauce that a lot of those are missing, I guess, because the way we're able to map this using semantic web technology, RDF technology, is narrow enough domain. There's only about 60 objects you got to know about, right? Like a type of a food and a geo region and a granularity and actions and stuff like that. So I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into that, but you can see here, when we scrape this menu, this is a fresh mint sprigs, right? That's in a cocktail, and it's three fresh mint sprigs, and it got parsed to the quantity of three. Sprigs is the unit, mint is the product, and fresh is the quality. And all those things mean things. And because it's semantic web, each of those tokens that it's parsed out has a URL, which you can link into other things. And you can say, well, show me all fresh food, or show me everything that has three of anything, or show me anything that's measured as a sprig, right? So I think that's really the, and of course, there's regions too. There's like, Cuban cocktails and dishes and stuff like that. So we're going to dive a little bit into some of the use cases for the food genome. The first thing we kind of built was, what should I eat for dinner, right? And this is kind of the beginning of the visualization, because the interesting thing is that we have the colors of these foods. I think that might even be the next, no, it's a couple slides down. We actually have these colors of these foods. So this mint pesto pasta, for some reason, is super pink. Why is that? Oh, because it has tomatoes in it. This one is pink because it has shrimp and tomatoes. And so we're able to kind of look at food, at recipes at a glance, and say, this doesn't look very healthy because it's very brown, but this is very red and green. That actually does look very healthy. And it's especially helpful for when you have your own, this is my diet over a month, right? And so I eat a lot of vegetables and maybe, you know, a lot of meat, like the pink colors. And so you can kind of look at that at a glance, and like a mood ring, and say, are you eating healthily or not? What time is it? 4:04. How's this going so far? Is this all right, you guys? Is it a little fast? All right, good. Because we got a lot more. The next part of the talk, after we kind of talk about the basics of how the food genome data scraping works, is going to be the visualization stuff that we've been working on for a while. And that's the stuff that I think is super impressive. So this is a what should I eat for dinner, where you ask, everyone wants this as a killer app. You ask the internet, what the fuck do I want, right? I want tomatoes. And most recipe sites will be like, here's some tomato recipes. But if you have the history, you can be like, oh, well, you had Chinese food yesterday, you had Italian food 2 days ago, so we want to take you in a totally different direction. And of course, another important thing about knowing about the yuck is trying to get you to like foods that you hate, right? So we know that Dylan hates mushrooms, right? So, but we also know that he loves Choco Tacos. So have you tried Choco Tacos with mushrooms in them? Sounds kind of gross. Let's say he likes Hawaiian food, but he hates green pepper. Well, has he tried Hawaiian skewers with pork and pineapple and green pepper on it? It's a way to get into to try and have this little step that helps you like the food that you fucking hate, right? And I think that's especially good for kids and stuff like that. Who here has kids? Anybody? Kids? All right, good. Everyone has kids these days. It's great. So then we have allergies as well. You're not only learning what you like or what you don't like, but also what you're allergic to. You can say, I don't care for green peppers so much, but peanuts will kill me. And because we have this... Yeah, what's up? Oh, you don't have to pass out one plate per person. Just keep hold of the plate, I guess. Not pass out one plate per person. Talk to Jules.
Yeah, leave the empty plate at the end, is what Veggie has to say.
Give it up for the death vegetable, ladies and gentlemen. All right, passing food out. Beautiful. Death vegetable also... Knows how to hold a cleaver. All right, that's scary. Okay, so we talk about allergies a little bit. And because we have this international database, right, that knows about the taste gestalts around the world, we have a big language lookup table and stuff like that. This is an app that our friend mocked up for the iPhone, which is Peanuts Will Kill Me, which is whatever country you're in, right, you want the language to say Peanuts Will Kill Me in whatever language, you know, the country is. You don't want to have to, does anyone have to go to another country and explain how vegan you are, right? And you go to Germany and they're like, or Mexico as another example. All right, so as we started scraping all this data, we basically scraped hundreds of thousands of recipes off the internet and started modeling them and looking for similar things that were among them. And so then we started talking about how to organize the foods. So there's this whole periodic table of condiments ideas where what are all the different ways that you can group different kinds of foods? So here's how we actually did scrape this recipe. I'll just go through the thing really quick. So these fields right here are the recipes, tags, ingredients, and directions. That's basically every recipe has that. And you can, you write a personalized scraper for each recipe website that you're grabbing 100,000 recipes, or 30,000-40,000 per website usually for the big ones. And so you grab the recipe, you know about the ingredients and the directions and the tags, and then we're actually able to scrape them using these components, buckets, and statements into making, this is our first recipe tweaker prototype we made, which is French onion soup, and you see that it detected that it was, it knew that it was France, and it was onion, and it was a soup. The onion was the main ingredient, French was the region. But if you click on France, which doesn't work anymore, of course, on our software, and then change it to Morocco, it would change it to a Moroccan onion soup. And that would figure out which of these ingredients is French and replace them with Moroccan, so it would add like cumin and orange zest, right? Or you change it from French to Italian onion soup and it would add, hella herbs and, mark or something like that. An onion, you could click on onion, change it to butternut squash, and make it a butternut squash soup with the same ingredients. Or change it from soup to a souffle, and it would change, kind of using these same ingredients, and be able to use these visualized processes would all change to make that different thing. And so the way we were able to do that in this prototype level was by scraping these ingredients and directions into buckets and having statements. And the buckets and statements basically work like, you chop garlic and you put it in a pan, right? The pan becomes the default bucket. And then you add wine. And then the statement, you're parsing the recipe, just the prose of the recipe, and you know that you're adding wine to the default bucket that was last defined. So it has a null in that field. And then you would say, heat milk, and then combine the two. And so we kind of know which of those were buckets, what equipment was being used, which products were being used in each step. And so this is kind of just an example of how that pipeline works. And then we're able to kind of super group the recipes and components. Components are super important. Like wet versus dry. Who here bakes? You ever make a cake? Right? All right. Muffins? Anyone? Muffins? Muffins, anyone? So you have the wet and the dry components. And so our algorithm is able to detect, this is the vegetables, and these are the herbs, this is the wet stuff, these are all used in this step, this is the frosting for a cake, basically. So the also thing we're able to parse is geographic content. And so we basically built geotaxonomy of food, right? So it's not all countries in Asia, it's just all the countries in Asia that have distinct cuisines. And I'm sure we're totally offending people, and I think that's another idea I want to talk about, actually, is according to Indian food, this is a good pairing. According to Indonesian food, this is a good pairing. But it's all according to the food genome, or according to this cookbook. Those are the idea in semantic web, is the idea of contexts. A semantic web statement is a subject, predicate, object, right? So you'd say tomato is a key ingredient in Italian food.
And the context is according to Mario Batali, right? Or according to, or maybe it's a canonical statement. And so all the statements in the food genome are either canonical, if they're real things, like celery seed is a part of the plant of celery root, and celery seed is a part of the plant of celery. Those are like kind of canonical fact statements. But then there's also context statements where you say, according to Persians that live in Los Angeles, right, rice is a Persian food. But according to Iranians that live in Iran, you know, that's a Tehrani food because that's where the rice is. Bread is everywhere else in the country. And so you'll be able to see from these different kinds of perspectives. And then the whole point of this is to, here's a tokenizer. So here we have a recipe here for Jamie Oliver's minestrone soup, right? And so here it's parsed down this display in a large stock pot over medium low, and it's parsed out all the buckets. It knows that there's a large stock pot. It knows all the ingredients in this step. It knows the actions. It's figured out that you're sauteing, you're chopping, those kinds of things. And it also... is able, one of the things I don't think I mentioned was the slider technique, which is, I don't think in this thing, where you're able to kind of have a slider on a recipe and tweak a recipe and say, make it vegetarian or make it vegan or speed it up, right? I don't want to have to make roast garlic. I'll just put the chopped garlic in, right? And so just a way to like kind of tweak a recipe and make it cost less. Just those are different parameters that you're able to tweak once you kind of quantize this recipe. So here's kind of how our tokenizer works a little bit. So we have things like, you know, 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, and it says that's a quantity, a unit of preparation. It detects articles like or, non-alcoholic is a quality, unrefined is a quality, preparation is sliced. And so it basically parsed through each of these lines, try and find unit or quantity first, and if there is no unit or quantity, it's always each, because you have a recipe that calls for orange, right? So what does that mean? So we have this physics engine on the back end that I'll show you on the next slide that knows what, if a recipe just says orange, it kind of knows what the proportion of the recipe that is. And then it identifies the other types of tokens, interprets grammar stop words, and it has to resolve type conflicts like cloves of garlic, like 2 cloves of garlic. Is that cloves the food, or is that cloves the unit? Right? How's that going? Beautiful. All right. Nice job, everybody. What do you think of the food? Is it weird? What do you think? Is it good? All right. Beautiful. Thank you. So we have a, this is a, so the physics engine on the back, we basically scraped this thing called the Book of Yields. It's kind of a common book that they use in commercial kitchens where it says a head of cabbage yields this many cups of chopped cabbage, right? And so we have this, you're able to convert between the units of mass as purchased and volume, right? So the engine that we have, this live API, is able to say 1 cup of apple weighs 13 ounces. Right, or 1 onion weighs that many ounces. 1 pod of cardamom is 0.37 grams. And that's an important, every recipe website or conversion or even USDA website has this algorithm and lookup table with all of its special cases. And so we're kind of, you know, making this public so that people are able to convert these things if they want. As purchased is a unit that's used in restaurants a lot, like a case of bananas, right, or a clove of garlic. It's something that's neither mass nor volume, but has a mass and has a volume. So that's kind of interesting. Oh yeah, this is also, because this is horrible graphics, I take full responsibility. All the beautiful graphics, by the way, are done by Jules, the co-chef. Give him a hand. Jules right there. We'll give him more of a hand once we show the beautiful graphics. Here's the shitty graphics that I made. This is me eating. This is me charting the lifeline of how dead a piece of fruit is, or a piece of food is that I'm eating, right? So the top one is salad dressing. So salad dressing, when you create it, is this point right here. The black pepper is alive for a while and then dead while it's dried. Mustard, same thing. Onion powder is alive until it's dried. Rapeseed oil is harvested and dried. Egg solids are alive and then dead. And they're all dead when you mix them together and make salad dressing, and then it sits on the shelf forever and you eat it. Compare that to sourdough, right, where you have a starter, which is a live part. This green line means it's alive. It's an alive part of the food that you mix in. And the wheat was alive for a while, and the sugar was alive for a while. But the thing that you're eating is dead because it sits on a thing for a while, and the cooking process actually consumes it. Compare that to miso soup. Who likes miso soup? Everybody? Yeah, miso! All right. Miso is alive when you eat it because you're not supposed to boil it, right? So miso is this living culture that grows on soybeans and different kinds of starches. The green onions were alive for a while. Bonito flakes and seaweed are kind of good for you because they've been dead for a long time, but they're dried. A lot of Japanese cuisine is a lot of dried food because of the seasons there and, you know, harsh winters. And so when you make the miso soup, you're mixing these dead things in this alive thing, but it's actually alive and it puts it into you. So I don't know if you ever eat, like, who here likes turkey? Turkey? Delicious turkey. You ever eat turkey and go to sleep, right? And you're like halfway through the day? Well, I have this friend who only eats, you know, live food during the day, like salads and stuff like that. And those are enzymes that you're putting into your body so that you have the energy for the rest of the day. If you're eating dead food in the beginning part of the day, your body has to exert energy to generate those, to generate enzymes to break down all that stuff. And so I think it's interesting to kind of quantize how alive the food is that you're going to put in your body. This is kind of a description of what I just said. Awesome. Who here's vegetarian? All right, let's put some vegetarian ones out there. Beautiful. Yeah, some vegetarian come up and pass it out to the vegetarians. I'm sure you know the secret handshake, right? See, vegetarian, it's just, yeah, it's a right angle with a carrot. Okay, so let's also talk about quantizing. Who remembers sentence diagramming in high school or junior high? Junior high, right? Right? Sentence diagramming. So we're doing the same thing with food, where the scraper reads this recipe for vegetable stock, and it's able to, I talked earlier about components, right? Well, the components of vegetable stock is you roast these savory vegetables, and you add this into a stock pot. And so we kind of, you know, built this recipe diagram generator, where you would have all of the savory vegetables right here, then the action was roasting it, and then this is the preposition, really, the 45 minutes time. And then these are all the herbs that are getting added into the stock pot after the vegetables get roasted. This is the white wine that's getting added to this equipment and then deglazed, and all that's added to the stock later because it's like the flavors, the fond. And then you have this stock pot here that's got water being added to it, and you're simmering it for an hour and you're straining it through cheesecloth. And what this allows you to do is it allows you to replace different parts of it. And you say, well, I actually want to put some fennel in my product, or put some beets or whatever. We're like, okay, well, that's part of the roast vegetable part. It goes in here. Or you say, okay, I have some basil. They're like, okay, well, that goes into the herb component list right here. Or you say, well, I don't have a cheesecloth, and it kind of downgrades using our taxonomy pantyhose or strainer or something like that. This is kind of a longer one called rhubarb syrup, where you're dicing these chunks. And one of the prepositions that's interesting here is thick syrup consistency, right? You're boiling this down for this amount of time or a thick syrup consistency, and then removing it from heat and adding lemon. And what lemon's doing here is adding acid. So, of course, if you don't have lemon, you add a little bit of apple cider vinegar and things like that. So kind of visualizing the food this way helps you think about what replacements to do and also kind of what all the buckets are for this stuff. So now we'll talk a little bit about the colors of food. So this is early part of the genome graphics that we kind of started measuring. What are all the colors of all the food that we have, right? So here you have like ahi tuna and apple and banana and beets and beans and stuff like that. And then here's kind of an idea. This is Chris's food that he's been eating. It's all gray because he's only filled up his personal food genome a little bit. But this is, you know, cremini mushrooms. And I really think that's important to look at the color of the food that you've been eating.
So.
Now we're on air.
Oh, there we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Are we on air?
Maybe.
Not hearing myself.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm not hearing myself either.
Engineer.
Hello.
I'm hearing you. Hello.
Hearing Mary? I'm not hearing anything.
Mr. Engineer.
I hear Bunny. I hear Bunny and the speaker's outside.
Well, I guess it means that we're on the air.
I can hear myself.
I heard you on the speaker outside.
Can you guys hear me?
Okay.
Mic 4!
Okay, well.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
Oh, there everyone. We go. I can hear you now. I turned this off.
I can turn mine up too.
Which one are you two?
All right. So now I can't still hear myself. Whatever.
And turn me up. Yeah. There we go. Okay.
All right, guys. So it's the end of the Next Hope. We've survived another event.
Thank God.
Well, we haven't made it out the door yet.
So yeah.
We haven't really survived as of yet.
We've survived.
Wait a minute. We're always forgetting this. We gotta stop doing this.
What?
Sorry for my voice. Gotta introduce ourselves. We keep forgetting to do that.
Welcome to the starting and running a streaming radio station / the Radio Statler closing ceremonies. Yes, not the Hope closing ceremonies. We have our own, motherfuckers. We're that special.
We are that special. We did this. We can have our own damn thing.
Yeah, so... we're going to introduce ourselves now. I'm Tech Darko. I am the station manager.
I am Nick Gott. I am the chief engineer.
I am Bunny. I'm the program director.
I am Sleekwa, and I was an engineer and sponsor.
And you were an engineer, or you are an engineer?
Are.
Are.
Okay, okay. If you were an engineer, there's no more bacon for you, because you're no longer part of Radio Statler.
Here, I'll just take all the bacon. It's all right.
I will hit you with 450-degree bacon oil.
Yes, by the way, we still have bacon to cook. If anybody is out there listening, come eat bacon. We need to get rid of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of it before we leave. So, also, guys, we want to say thank you to all the people who've been listening. It really means a lot to us. We put a lot of work into this. A lot of money.
Mr. Engineer, can you please make sure to remind everybody of the video stream and the IRC
on
the Twitter?
Our IRC is... So anybody who's still interested is irc.2600.com, and you can join Radio Statler, radio-statler. Our Ustream is ustream.tv/channels/radio-statler, and you can go to our website at radio.hope.net. And we'd just like to thank everybody for listening, a big thing. it seems sometimes like this might be pretty easy. It's like, hey, throw a couple of mics together and stuff. But honest to God, it really is.
It is not. That's the one thing that is not as easy.
The amount of stuff that goes wrong, that that problems that come up. I mean, just even in the planning stages, it's as you know. I know both Buddy and Nick can attest to it with me since we were the ones trying to have you know fucking meetings every so often. When you have three people in three completely different states and in two different time zones, and you. You know, want to have a meeting, and everyone's got different work schedules. I work straight through the weekend and some nights and most days. Buddy works, you know, evenings and nights and everything else.
Yeah, whatever.
And I have a normal schedule.
And it's, I gotta say, that was probably one of our biggest issues coming up was just, it's finding time to meet with each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, do you have anything to say, or do you want to just keep going while you eat cheese?
Cheese is good.
Cheese is awesome.
So, especially with bacon.
I can have
eating bacon.
I've been eating bacon all morning. There was someone in the IRC that's been watching us eat and cook it, and they were like, "How can someone sit there for 2 hours and cook and eat bacon?" This bacon's awesome.
Because we rock. We are radio fucking staff.
You know, yeah, I was gonna say I can bring up a test to the. It's not an easy project. I'm fairly certain on the first day, I think all of us were going to kill each other.
Yes.
At one point of the day, I think everybody flipped out at one point and then just, like, left. And came back later.
Well, no, I didn't flip out and leave. I flipped out and everyone else left, and I was going, motherfucker, I'm stuck in the booth. And then when I finally did leave, it was just to go take a goddamn shower.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of drama that first day. It was pretty wicked.
It was pretty crazy.
So I guess to go into how to start a streaming radio station.
Find people that you know you can get along with.
Oh, God, yes. God, yes. Rule number one. Because you will get along with them, and then you will not get along with them, and then you must get along with them again.
And just from a side note from other things I've done, do not pick people you live with to work with. Do not pick people who you have to work with on outside jobs to do a special project with. It's... If you want to run things...
Cough. There's an exception. There is an exception.
Hey, you two have been ready to kill each other how many times?
Only once.
One long, big time.
I remember the band Hammer coming out. That's all I'm going to say on that. God, I remember the band Hammer coming out.
Yeah, but that was once. That was one time. It was done. Over with. Done.
It's... Especially on a project where you're not getting paid, you're putting in a lot of volunteer hours. It's great, but since work's got to come first, and it still is a project you want to get done, everybody gets frustrated, everybody gets mad at each other.
Yeah.
It does fall apart eventually.
It does.
No matter how well you plan, stuff will go wrong, you will be mad at each other, someone will drop the ball, whether it was your fault, whether it was their fault, whether it was a breakdown in communication, whether it was, you know, life getting in the way, someone will drop the ball, other people will get pissed about it, and you have to just roll past it.
Yeah, that happened more than a few times.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout out to Toggy though. He really put in some.
Yeah. Toggy built the fine radio booth that is now scribbled on that we've had this whole booth. And I guess the best testament to the quality of the build is that it didn't fall down, which is important.
Oh, we did follow West Virginia building code. As long as it's standing up, don't fall down with arm in it. Well, it is okay.
No, it isn't necessarily okay, because the ceiling kept trying to fall down on all of us.
Yeah, well, we didn't build a ceiling. We kind of ghetto rich with foam at the
foam.
Last minute.
And now the foam is not even on there. It's just sitting on against the wall.
The 2 a.m. show last night said there was no way they wanted foam on here because it was ridiculous to have foam on the roof. And they flipped out and took it down, and then bitched about the noise. But I can't stress this enough. And please don't take this as an insult. I am looking at you, Nick God. Communication is the most fucking important thing you can do when you're running a project.
You're right.
And we had a fall apart even this time because everybody had shit going on in real life. Everybody kind of fell apart. We wound up letting ourselves run really behind. And then we let...
He's not exaggerating. None of this that I put together, I tested beforehand. None of it. Absolutely none of it.
No, we can't because I have half the gear. You have half the gear. It's not like we have... You know,
well, but the stuff that
input half A, output half B. We have like, you know, goes, you know,
goes, Darko, Nick God, Nick God, Darko, 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 Nick God, Nick God, Nick God, Darko, Nick God, Darko. Okay, we've got an audio chain.
Yes, that's true. However, absolutely nothing. I didn't test any of the machines. I didn't have time to. And that's really important. You have to give yourself way more time than you think you're going to need because you're going to need it.
And really, communication is the biggest thing. I mean, we had, as long as you stay on top of things and you let, like, especially if you're working with a good group of people, as long as you, it sucks sometimes. I've done this at work. I've had to do this here. It sucks to have to email and be like, I fucked up. I dropped the ball. You know, it's the, okay, yeah, I kind of don't want to tell you guys this because I feel like a fucking idiot, but we did X, Y, Z, and we have a problem with it. As long as you actually come forward and talk about stuff, if you're with a good group of people, the good thing is that you can all kind of bind together and get shit done. You know, yeah. You can break things up, you can redistribute stuff. But if you try and do the whole, wait, let me see if I can get this done first, even though I know it's really close, which I think all of us, or at least you and I, do end up doing at least once during this.
Yeah.
It winds up coming back to bite you in the ass really hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Communication and organization really, really come down to how this has to happen. Props to Bunny for organizing the crap out of everything this time. It was awesome on your end. You were like perfect.
I know, I'm so perfect. Thank you.
But Bunny is perfection, and you can say thank you for her perfection by PayPaling her money to, what is it? It's your West Coast relocation fund.
Yes.
At gmail.com.
Move me to LA.
It's the Move Bunny to LA Relocation Fund.
That moves it further away.
Yes.
We need the bunny.
Actually, probably.
Show me the bunny.
You could actually probably find cheaper flights from LA to the New York area than you could from St. Louis.
I imagine.
Hell, you could take a JetBlue plane across the country.
Or Virgin.
I'm not making the joke. I'm making the joke. I'm being good today. I'm being good. I got 3.5 hours sleep, so I'm only a little punchy.
But yeah, I mean, every show that we did here was known ahead of time. You know, producers were assigned to each show, and they had contacted their shows in advance with a list of questions so that we knew what they needed beforehand. Now, that worked for most of them. Some of them needed, like, really crazy shit that we just weren't able to do, including the 2, 4 a.m., whatever the show that was.
Well, we also had a few people that showed up at the conference and been like, hey, we want a show.
Well, yeah, there's that, too.
And there's a few of those. But most of them were all done before we got here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, between that and also, we have a little more luck than somebody wants to start a news radio station right now. We did this before. We did this 2 years ago. Granted, we were completely and totally markedly different this time around than we were last time around. Last time, we really focused on interviews. We had a couple people on and talking and stuff. We tried to grab people to come down and do little talks. We tried to grab speakers to come down and do interviews afterward. And then we kind of just played some music in between. It was kind of like, you know, basically like more of an adjunct to Hope, kind of getting more time with the speakers and stuff. Whereas this time around, we went a completely different direction. And I'd say probably, you know, I don't know about you guys, but thinking back, I'd say probably we went from one extreme to the other, and we probably next time to try and find a happy medium.
Yeah,
We actually, instead of not having any interviews with the speakers, we actually get the speakers down here, you know, or we set up a remote upstairs and are like, hi, you, sit, no, here's food, now you're going to sit for a minute and we're going to talk to you on Radio Stat.
Well, yeah, and a big thing from the engineering standpoint, you know, we had to rely for the talk audio on a completely separate project, who had to rely on a completely separate project, who had to rely on a completely separate project, so.
This leads us to rule number two. Rule number one is communication. Rule number two is never trust anyone else. If you get it done, thank them profusely, but be prepared for them to fail, because it's not you.
Yeah.
Murphy's Law is always in effect.
We ran into an issue where we only had the ability to, or they had only the ability to stream one of the rooms out of three, so we had Tesla the entire time, and that was it. Which sucked.
And
so next time, rule for next time is, I would say that rule should read, do everything possible yourself.
I wouldn't go that far, but I would say rule number two would probably be, what can go wrong will go wrong, and the corollary is, be prepared for the backup plan. Which our backup plan was, we streamed Tesla, and that was it. And we, you know, we used the audio we had to, and we had, I think Arco.
Well, the good news is Tesla. Tesla was the one that had the majority of the really good talks.
But
yes.
Arca actually went up in person, and so did Mad Joe, to actually record, to get use a recorder and plug straight into the audio board for the other ones. So
right.
It's a bonus. Up to 29 viewers.
Oh, hey, check it out.
Oh, hey.
Hey, it's the bacon. I'm telling you.
It's the bacon and the bunny.
You should
bunny's
show
right
off.
There. No, there's a bunny right there.
There's two bunnies. You have a bunny there and a bunny there.
Okay.
It's a bunny squared.
Darko, you should be showing some of the bacon.
That's what I'm turning in. Everybody wants to see the bacon. There's the bacon.
The bacon.
Why is there gaff tape on the bottom of this? Why is there gaff tape on the bottom of this computer?
Because there's gaff tape everywhere.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm surprised the door isn't, like, wide open with people wanting bacon.
I don't know. Well, we actually didn't have that many. People were walking by looking at the bacon. Almost nobody asked for some. Anybody who asked got free bacon. Hold on. Turn me up in on AUX 6 for a second, okay? It's mic 4. Turn me up on AUX 6. Everyone, I'd like to let you know there has been free bacon at Radio Statler. All you had to do was ask for the bacon. It's not push button receive bacon. It's ask receive bacon. Anyway.
You can also call in your orders.
Yes, call in to us if you want to ask questions about
how we did what we did.
How we did what we did. Any advice, whatever. Our number is 212-888-9033. That's 212-888-9033.
Do we have someone outside screening calls? I guess.
I think we have two people outside, so we just need to actually... I guess we just need to actually call on...
Oh, yeah, let's get the IRC going.
I don't think we have IRC on this machine. I'm just going to open up the talk show.
Yeah, you should. Excuse me, that's stop base, isn't it?
No, actually, it's his place of employment. So I do not believe this actually.
Stop base, dick.
Hey, stop it, get in here. So we're now going to bring in stop A since we were waiting for him anyway.
Nope. Where the fuck are you in?
Yeah, motherfucker.
I don't know.
You don't know where you were?
I still love the Android pissing on Apple thing.
Was it dark where you were at?
Especially since, you know, you're Mr. iPhone over there. iPhone peoples.
Oh, I'm dancing. I'm dancing on the radio.
They can't see you.
100 degree bacon grease.
I know someone at this conference that's been hit in the head with an iPhone. And
what?
I saw the bruise that it made.
Well, yeah.
That's not necessarily a good thing on the side of an iPhone.
Well, you know what he was trying to do? He was
trying to solve the iPhone.
He was trying to solve the iPhone attenuation problem.
I was told to come in here and request bacon, and
I'll
get bacon.
Okay.
Do you have someone here for bacon? Wow, that's the first. That even happened yesterday.
Do you have any questions as to how we pulled this off?
Any questions as to how do you pull this off? Well, let me see here. I see cheese too, and I like cheese.
We're not talking about bacon and cheese. We're talking about how we pulled off Radio Statler.
Oh, how you pulled off Radio Statler?
This is, well, right now, it's the how to make a radio show and learn from our fucking mistakes.
Questions about how you pulled off Radio Statler.
Wait, fucking mistakes.
Fucking mistakes compared to mistakes.
Didn't she get the money?
Okay. She asked.
No, I'm just saying that the question was, where did all the money to make this happen come from? And you're looking at it.
It came from my pocket.
Okay. Are you here for bacon too?
I'm here for bacon.
Okay.
Oh, people are coming in for bacon.
What made you decide to do a radio station? Why radio?
We started 2 years. We started at the last.
Well, hold on. The question was, what made us to start with radio? Why specifically radio? So.
Why radio? Yes.
Honestly, what happened was in the forums when we started up for The Last Hope. We started talking about. I think actually it was Lex actually brought it up.
Yeah. Somebody brought it up, and then Lex contributed as he so often does.
Lex kind of set it up. We're gonna answer this. Ben from Virginia will be getting to you in just a second. So what happened was it got brought up in the forum, and you and I were the first two really to get involved and really get into it.
Yeah. Well, the original idea was to set up somebody in the back of each talk room and then just announce what's going on and that kind of thing. For a lot of reasons, that quite didn't pan out, but we ultimately came up with this idea to do a streaming station that would complement the Hope Talks.
And kind of took on a life of its own as it evolved.
Yeah. The why radio and not video, for instance, it really comes down to simplicity. Doing a TV show or TV station is about 10 times more difficult than pulling off a radio station.
I think also the original thought process was less the complexity, and also the two big things were, one, we're great. We love having people listen, but we don't want people to be able to record all the video from the talks because then also they're not going to buy DVDs. And we want you to buy DVDs and listen to WBAI and donate so that you can get, you know, the full collections and help keep Off the Hook on the air and all that.
Yeah.
Also, audio, the network here, especially this year, it's been amazing. There's been no network issues at all. Knock on wood. But everything's been going great. In previous hopes, there's been a lot of network issues. Sometimes there's, bandwidth issues because of the providers and stuff. And so one of the big things was not eating up too much bandwidth on the streaming out, because otherwise we kill the whole con's bandwidth. But
kind of on that related topic, we have this streaming. We don't have this streaming from the conference. The server, it's streaming from the conference, but the distribution server is not at the conference.
The distribution server is brought to us by Silico Enterprises. You guys want to say your tagline or whatever?
No, not really.
Silico, you want to say your tagline?
It's all right there for people who can see us.
It's bandwidth powered by Silico.com. If you have hosting needs or something, please go to Silico.com. Yes.
It's SILQUA.com.
We will hook you up.
Yeah, just tell them that, you know, you heard about them on Radio Statler. I mean, the two guys who run it basically are right here.
Yes.
Yep.
Not basically, we are. Yeah.
And we also Nemo and Toggy.
Nemo and Toggy.
And Amin.
Yeah, we basically hijacked all of them and said, you're going
to
be
the
Radio Statler.
So let's go to the question from Ben.
Okay. Of course, I think someone needs to go to the machine and actually
Ben,
put...
Ben, you're on the air.
No, he's not on the air, because somebody needs to go out there and put him
guys,
on the other
end. Guys, turn
on the
stream.
Come on,
guys. He's sucking this phone stuff.
Yeah, our phone system didn't exactly come together, so it still works good, though.
I have a phone on.
No, it's not phone, it's stream.
No, it's...
Okay, hi.
Whoa, okay, turn it off.
Okay. Ben, just hold on, okay? We're getting to it.
I'm going out.
Our phone system, Nick Stone did a great job. He built us a custom talk show system.
And he built it in like a week, by the way.
It worked great. The problem was we had problems getting audio from the machine to the soundboard. So, like we said, always plan for shit to go wrong, because it will.
No, who else is up there?
Grishnav. Okay, so Ben, okay. We have you on hold right now.
Yeah, everybody hold on to the phones. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get to you. We gotta send Cooter out there to fix it.
So in the meantime, buddy, why don't you say something about the whole trying to get shows set up and everything?
Okay, now we should be on the air.
Okay, Ben, are you there? No.
I don't hear Ben.
Turn him up. Is he in our headphones?
Should be.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to step outside for a minute. Bunny's going to talk about production and setting up shows and everything, all that good jazz.
It was a really simple concept, to be honest. I stepped up to be the program director because someone had to do it. We wanted to try to get all the shows beforehand. The last hope, kind of what we did, is we didn't really have any shows set up. We never really put ourselves out there to get a whole bunch of shows. So when we arrived at Hope, that's when everybody started putting in their shows. So we had a lot of time where it was just music getting played or just streaming a talk here and there. And there was a lot of live stuff, original content. So this year I kind of reached out to my resources and all the people I know and all the people that come to this conference. And I pretty much all got them to do shows for me. It's pretty much how it worked out. Which I love to death. Thank you for everybody who did a show on Radio Sadler for me. It's awesome. And I pretty much did the same thing for getting my producers. Everybody's here. I'm like, here you go. You're my friend. You're my producer now. It's pretty kind of what I did, and everybody loves me enough to do that for me. So thanks, everybody. But that's pretty much how much the shows did. And we did have some shows where people did email us and said, hey, I'm interested. And I got them on the air. Or they showed up, you know, the first day of Hope and was like, hey, I feel pretty interested. I'd like to do a show. I want to get on there. So we put them on there. So, I mean, it's just a matter of leaving a little bit of space. But what I did like this year, that was, like, the best thing ever, is people were still coming and saying, I want to get on to a talk. And I'm like, you know what? I'm out of time. I don't have a place to actually put you. And I loved me all saying that. It sucks that they didn't get up there.
Ah.
What is going on with the microphone out there? Mr. Engineer, stop playing with the microphone. Seriously, stop playing with that microphone. Oh, what are you doing? It hurts.
Darko,
stop whatever you're doing. It hurts.
Darko, stop it.
What?
Thank you.
It hurts our ears.
And then it stops.
It's painful.
Also, that needs to be
good.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I was saying, it was really nice to be able to, in a sense, actually not be able to take all the shows we wanted to, simply because we ran out of time to be able to play everything. I like that, and maybe next time, we'll try to do 30-minute shows. I don't know if everybody could only talk for 30 minutes and shut up. Maybe I could try that, get more people on here. Was it A&D? Didn't even get a show because they came too late, and I didn't have time to even put them. It was kind of sad because I would have liked to have A&D have a show.
Although they did get a talk up in there.
Yeah, they did actually get a hope talk, unlike us.
Unlike us, who were rejected, apparently.
Well, that happened last time too.
We didn't go for a hope talk last time.
Hey, what's up with that, Lex?
Lex, you so come here.
Where have you been?
Come here.
Here, Lex, have some bacon.
Here, Lex, let us bitch at you.
Your favorite lexicon.
I have to go run lightning talks, so.
You don't.
You can get on the air and talk, because this is how to set up a streaming radio station and learn from our fucking mistakes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Okay, so apparently we're having an issue getting Ben on air, though, so let's see if we can try this. Or not.
Oh, Krishnav, you're on the air.
Krishnav, can you hear us?
We suck at this phone thing.
Yeah,
okay. So bad.
So next time we're definitely going to have to test
it. You know what we can do for the phones?
What?
That's probably a very, very trustworthy way. Is grab the Telefreak guys and just have them do it for us.
Well, the problem
I mean, that would probably work out perfect. They'd test it for us, get it all ready, and they would hook it up and we'd be on our way.
The interesting thing actually was that the phone system itself worked great. It doesn't have an issue. The problem is we can't get audio from the phone system to the soundboard. Although, actually, what we probably should have done...
Uh-huh.
No, I was going to say take the hybrid and plug the handset into the hybrid and use that to do the audio.
We should have,
Probably.
Of course, we're thinking of this now.
Yeah, well...
So what we should do is send your questions to IRC, and we will have the producer out there write them down and send them into us.
Or the producer or engineer could just say it.
Yeah.
I got a microphone out there.
Yeah, stop it. You want to read us questions from IRC? Bad mic cable.
Ow.
All right. Turn your mic off for a second, shake the cable a couple times.
Whatever, you're hurting them again.
Okay, so in the meantime...
It's almost as good as the spatula one from yesterday.
So, I'd say one of our biggest mistakes was probably the whole not testing things in advance. Leave yourself time.
Yeah.
I mean, we did. We planned. Like, last time we kind of got everything done last minute. This time, we planned in advance. We were all going to be ready to go. We had the gear coming up. I came in from Jersey with Bunny, and we had everything. We were going to be ready to have everything in by like 1. And Nick God and the Salico crew saved the guys driving up, came in the day before, and the gear was all going to be here early. And of course, nothing goes to plan. So, you know, we wound up running late.
Let's leave it at that, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, things didn't go to plan. It happens. Shit happens. And that's the problem is, you know. Like, we thought we were all prepared, and we had, you know, hauling high and mighty, we're going to have time, we're going to be able to plan, we're going to be able to test everything, and then, shit, nothing's going to be here till 2 a.m. So, you know, the thing is, always have the backup plan. It's never depend on things going your way, and sometimes you can't, you don't have a choice, but, you know, whatever. Apparently we're up to the call coming, we'll try the phone system, but apparently we're having issues getting audio in, so unless Nixoft's in the area and can hear us. Nixoft, if you're around, come
on. We need you. Yeah.
We have a problem with the phone.
Get away from Nemo.
Oh,
we know you like her.
Oh.
I'm sure she's gonna come in and throw stuff.
Oh, by the way, I think she is. Nemo, I didn't say it. It was Cooter. So go ahead and throw it at him. By the way, did you notice what she rewrote your name on the engineering schedule?
Yes. What did she say? What does it finally say?
It was like jealous of Mr. Engineer. We're so jealous of Mr. Engineer and Smoochy. Also, I like what you changed Nixoff to.
I forget what I changed it to. It was. Oh, yeah.
What did I miss?
You should go look at the schedule out there.
He's been teasing her. We were teasing Nemo and being like, oh, you know, you're blushing, blah, blah, blah. Well, he went as far as to start changing things and writing stuff out. So he's ready to get his ass kicked by her.
What do you think we did right?
I think having a full schedule was awesome.
Yeah, and actually
the content in was done really, really, really
not
well.
Not having to work you know, every single shift ourselves. Although we still were here all the time because we had to fix all the problems we had.
Well, you can't get away from that, though. I mean, at some point, the engineer's got to be there.
Well, I mean, we had engineers, but just, you know, we had to fix all the problems.
Well, yeah.
Which I want this to be able to test so I can actually. I only made it to one talk this year, and that was because that one talk, I was with social engineering, and I was sitting behind the stage actually running the hybrid and getting cued by like foot taps from a manual. So, what they normally use died, you know, the day of, and they. Bernie came to me and was like, do you happen to know where I can pick up a hybrid? I'm like, I can do one better. I have a spare. He's like, why the fuck do you have a spare hybrid just sitting around? I expected our phone system to fail miserably like it did last time, so I brought a hybrid.
And it didn't, except it did.
Yes. And then, of course, you know, that. But another one of those things don't go to plan. 2600, the social engineering. I mean, they've done that for how long, Bunny? Like, every year?
Every year.
They were all prepped. They had everything going. Technically, they got everything working. And then they had one technical problem, which was that the phone has to be manually unplugged and replugged to actually drop the line. Because it's heavily modified with a hand switch and a noise-canceling mic and everything. And it's an old...
Yeah.
It's an old line set. And then, of course, the problem was they decided to call gas stations. And we had a language barrier with, like, the first three, and then the rest of...
Well,
a bunch
are not answering.
Yeah, a bunch were not answering. People were, didn't pick up the phones. People didn't have access to the offices. They didn't know what the hell was going
on. Hey, Dustin Hoffman's in here. Dustin Hoffman's now leaving.
Finish the bacon.
Bye, Dustin.
We don't have any...
That was kind of creepy. Did he just get, like, black bags?
Okay, so Ben is back. I don't know if we want to try putting him on the air again. I guess we can. Yeah,
we'll try to put you on the air.
Sorry if this does not work,
yeah,
Ben.
Sorry, Ben. Let's give this one more shot. Okay.
Hey, he's from Virginia.
Okay, Ben, are you on? No.
Okay, how's this then? Why don't you tell them the question? They can
or email it. Actually, email it to radio@hope.net because we all get that.
Isn't your cell phone dead?
My cell phone's not dead. I just don't know where it is.
Yeah,
I think it's out there.
Stop A. Kiss your butt in here and get IRC on this computer. Now. Oh, God.
He's punishing you.
I have ears that I need to protect.
I forgot we have the Mibit set up. I'll use that. Wow.
What are you guys doing out there? Stop that.
Turn it off.
Put the mic down.
Oh, God. Hurt. Okay, so we are hopping on as...
We're going on the IRC.
Hold on.
Booth.
We are RS Crew.
RS Crew.
We're a crew. No, I'm a bacon.
RS Core. There we go. All right, we are jumping into the IRC.
Yay.
And here we are. Okay, so anybody who has a question, join the IRC channel. If you don't have IRC, go to radio.hope.net. That's radio.hope.net, and click on the link up on the top right.
Okay. Wait, hold on. And for those who actually have IRC, the network is irc.2600.net. The channel's /Statler.
Yes.
All right, so we have a question already. What happens to Radio Statler after this? Basically, it goes into mothballs for 2 years. We just run at the conference. I mean, so for... we run through until 6 p.m. We're going to try and stream the closing talk.
We're going to try.
The network may actually get taken down the middle. If it does, we're going to lose it, but we'll stream as long as we can.
Yeah.
And then we put it in mothballs. Everything gets packed up. The gear goes back to who it's borrowed from or where it gets stored. And
I use my stuff once a year for a Christmas station. Other than that, I mean, my stuff just sits in storage. Yeah.
And my stuff goes back to the radio station we're borrowing it from. And
gets returned.
Yes. And returned to a store that shall not be named as long as the mics don't smell too much like bacon. Otherwise, we need to Febreze them.
I think it's just that one's going to smell like bacon.
Yeah, because we used that yesterday, too.
Yeah, so that's Nick God's poor microphone.
Yeah.
This one smells like beer.
Over it.
Yeah.
This one totally smells like beer.
That's bad.
It's beer.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, that store is going to love you.
All right, so let's see. How can we keep Radio Statler on the air longer? You can't. If you want Radio Statler to be guaranteed to be back.
Yeah, help us donate some equipment. Like, if you're coming to this conference,
next time
if you have equipment to share, we would love you for that.
For next point, it'll be donating equipment. But in the next, you know, in the immediate future, support Hotel Penn.
Yes.
Support the Save the Hotel Penn project. Because if Hotel Penn's not here, Hope may not happen.
And if hope doesn't happen, then this definitely doesn't happen.
So you want to support, what is the website? It's
SaveHotelPen.org.
Yeah.
I think they got like all the Indians.
So go to SaveHotelPen.org and sign the petition, get involved, get active.
Help. You can also go to the Hope Forums at the next hope.org/talk. And you can, there's actually a Save the Hotel topic and everything else where we try to keep updated information.
Okay, and, yeah, get involved because we need to save hope. We need to save the Hotel Penn. And it's a hotel, as E has said so many times, it's a hotel that fills up 1,700 rooms almost every night.
Yeah.
And it's right in Midtown Manhattan. It's a place that is cheap enough that it allows, you know, people from other countries, people who can't afford to go to one of these expensive, more expensive ritzier hotels, to come here to see this city, to see this fucking amazing city, to, you know, tourist around, to go see shit. And the only way we're going to be able to save it is with community activism. I mean, the community board voted almost unanimously, it was only one dissenting vote, to deny and to recommend that they did not tear down the Hotel Penn. However, pardon? Hey, yeah, I mean, the musical history here, the history of this building.
The history, period.
But the problem is that it's all about money, and unless we get some attention for it and unless we actually get people involved, they will just push it. All right, so let's see. Let's see. Alkari asks if we can get Ryan Weber down here so Bunny can show tits. Sorry, no, we wish we could. I know Bunny wishes he was here, but we can't have him. Are we going to have problems like the one we did this time worked out before him next time? Kane, we would love to have all the problems worked out. However, the thing is, we're from all over the country, so we basically have to build everything as we go on. We can't get into the space more than 18 hours early, and that's really pushing it. Normally, we get in about 12 hours early, and so we have about 12 to 18 hours to get everything set up, built, wired. We had to custom build wiring harnesses, everything to hook everything up. The good thing is that, you know, every time you have more problems, you learn, and it gets better for next time. So, yeah, I think it should be better.
The problems that we had here are most likely going to be addressed. You know, we had problems last time that we specifically addressed this time. That's where the booth came from. That's where some of these other things came from.
Jesus, what is going on out there?
Yeah.
breaking down tables.
Yeah.
That's like it was like right on the other side.
Volunteer booth. Okay, we have another question. Red Cell asks, does Bunny have underwear? Bunny, do you have underwear?
Underwear.
That kind of seems like, do you own underwear in any way, shape, or form?
I own lots of underwear. I happen to be wearing a pair today, yes.
There you go. Okay, and then next question. So how did you set up your network to get everything working in multiple rooms? Was it multiple stations connecting to a main server that uploads to a distribution server? I'm going to leave that one to you, Nick God.
Okay.
The plan was?
The plan was to have, well, we have our external streaming server off at Sleekwa, and we were going to be streaming, there were going to be four different streams for that. There was going to be our main stream, which is this one, and then one for each of the talk rooms that was going to be handled by the people that were doing the AV streaming because they already had computers in the rooms. Because they had issues getting sound into them and setting everything up like that, it just didn't happen. But the plan was to have all of that feeding into our server out at Sleekwa, which is the distribution server. And then all of our stuff here would have been run from the booth.
Okay. Next question. Dark Nemesis asks, what do we think of having a full-time job as Radio Statler employees?
Who's going to pay us?
If you want to pay for it, I'm willing to do it.
Dark Nemesis, we will be more than willing to negotiate our contract rates with you. Just get in touch with us at radio@hope.net and please provide bank routing information so we can double check you actually have the money to pay us.
We also accept payment in bacon and cheese.
No, I want money.
I can't pay my bills with bacon and cheese.
Okay, I accept payment in bacon and cheese.
I'll work for bandwidth.
You do actually. Yes, we do.
Next question: is the equipment borrowed from WBAI? Actually, no. We have no affiliation with WBAI.
I don't think WBAI really had the equipment to spare in the first place.
No, they don't. WBAI actually runs on a very tight shoestring. It's a great community station, though. We support WBAI. We love it. We love Off the Hook. If you're interested in actually keeping WBAI Off the Hook alive, feel free to listen on to Off the Hook on Wednesdays. Feel free to get involved, volunteer with WBAI.
Yeah.
They do fundraiser shows.
There should be a fundraiser show coming up in
fairly often. I'm not sure, but they're fairly often enough where you can donate money to the station. However, in return, you get some really nifty 2600 Hope, you know, some kind of fun hacker stuff. EV shirts. They give out videos from Hope. They'll be doing that eventually. They'll have a fundraiser soon. It's probably going to have the Hope DVDs. They're going to be, you know, able to get with the donation. Things like that.
Yeah. Okay, next question. If you melted dry ice, could you swim without getting wet? Really?
just move on.
Okay. It's called Let Me Google That For You. Google dry ice and melted. It becomes air. Okay. What are the technical details for getting the radio set up? Specifically, what materials do you make your booth out of?
Okay.
We'll start with that.
What?
The booth. If you've ever been in a house that's under construction, it looks pretty much exactly like that. It's actual. We went out, bought lumber, bought studs, framed it up like walls, and then we have plywood on the outside. We have fiberglass insulation in between to isolate it from noise and stuff like that. And then on the inside of the booth, we have drywall. Fire-rated drywall that we have written all over. The ceiling is nothing right now, but it was foam panels that were about an inch thick, just to block more of the sound. We have a door, we have carpeting on the floor. The floors are actually interesting there.
We're going to actually go really quick, because we have 30 minutes until we're off air, and I just got informed that the booth needs to be out of the space by 8 p.m.
Oh. Shit.
Okay. I think Nick God or Salik was probably going to step outside the booth for a minute and make a quick call to Tagi and make sure that we have the trailer coming.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we're going to kind of blow through stuff pretty quick. How much bandwidth does streaming up to your distribution server take?
Wait, what now?
How much bandwidth are we using to stream to the distribution server?
To the distribution server, it's a single 64K stream. Out from the distribution server, every single listener takes up 64K of bandwidth.
Okay. How do we solve the problem of getting multiple rooms wired up to the broadcasting booth and switching between them? I'll take this one. We actually didn't do it this year. We only got one room. Ideally, what they do normally is they stream video and audio from upstairs down to put up on projection screens. So what they do is they have a computer in each room, and they just have it streaming over IP, and you just connect to it as multicast to you. So, we have one machine that's actually one talk room. It's a Tesla, and we have that just streamed down to the computer sitting next to the board. And we want to put the audio on. We just start the stream and then bring it up on the board. Let's see. What software do we use for doing the broadcast? We use what's called Sam Broadcaster, and maybe I'll give you just a couple, like a quick little, like,
It's Sam Broadcaster. It's from spatialaudio.com. It runs on Windows. We didn't want to use it. We wanted to use an open source platform called Rivendell. Rivendell. The issue was
Rivendell is a lot more complicated. It takes a lot of setup. It's great for like larger stations and stuff, but we just didn't have the time. All right, let's see. Next question. A statement. The Hope Conference can survive a complete change of venue to a different city if that's what it takes. If no one wants to bother, bye-bye. Kane? I'd love the Hope to survive wherever it goes to.
Well, that was a big issue, and that was back when we were planning the last Hope. It's not that it can't move somewhere else. This is just Hope's home. This is where everybody, the people who run the conference, that, you know, 2600, they're here. It's going to be, this is cheap. You're not going to be able to find places to run a conference the size it is for what they get the space for.
And
that's the issue.
And the other big issue is there's not a lot of places that are very open and friendly to having a group of hackers.
Yeah.
I mean, in a lot of senses, we are
We're the scary ones.
Yeah, we're a scary kind of revival group. So we have to find a space that's open to us. And if it left New York, it would no longer be Hope. I mean, there would still be a hacker conference run by 2600 probably in Long Island or out in Jersey or maybe hell even up in like,
Albany.
New York proper. Well, not Albany, like even in New York proper in Connecticut, but
yeah.
It would not be Hope. Hope is in downtown Manhattan across from MSJ. All right. Let's see. Any number of visitors to Hope. I actually do not know how many I know. I think
are you talking about how many people were here attending? I was talking to the desk downstairs, and they figure about 2,000 were here this year. So that's, and most of them pre-registered, and then the rest of them came in after.
Okay, let's see. Did anyone run any segues into this year? Yes, they did have two segues. There were a couple of crashes, but
no one ran them into the booth because the booth is far removed from the segues.
And also,
we learned that lesson.
We're also made of wood, so I think people actually purposely tried to stay away. It wasn't so cozy to hit this time.
Question: how many listeners did we have over the length of the conference? I'm not sure.
We
peaked out at 300 during Assange talk, but unfortunately, it was because our bandwidth, we were capped at 300.
Yeah.
We would have had more than 300, but it got capped, and so now it's more. But I mean, so far the most we have is 300.
And I can work on posting listeners' last once I get back to DC.
If we had a frequency to broadcast on, would we have changed the type of content we delivered in any way?
No.
I think we actually would have turned it down. If someone wanted to broadcast us, we're not going to stop you. We wouldn't recommend it because of the FCC, but we're not going to stop you.
Well, we can't stop you.
No, but you can take an audio stream if you want from our IP, but we wouldn't have changed it. I mean, this is hope. We want it to be free format. We want it to
yes.
be open. We want people to be able to say whatever they fucking want.
That's the point of this conference. You come here, you get to, you know, you get to be yourself, do what you want to do. You learn things, you have fun, and no one's held back.
Yeah. So, let's see. Will there be a torrent with all the talks on it? Actually wouldn't be being posted by us.
Well,
no, the audio, the AV guys.
Which talks? Are they asking Hope Talks or Radio Statler talks?
Guys, you talk about Hope Talks or Radio Statler.